The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus proposed another parable to the crowd, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?' He answered, 'An enemy has done this.' His slaves said to him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' He replied, 'No, if you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He proposed another parable to them. 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds. Yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches.' He spoke to them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened.' All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has been hidden from the foundations of the world.' Then, dismissing the crowds, he went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He said in reply, 'He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear.'" The Gospel of the Lord. As we continue to journey into the Gospel of the book of Matthew in these ordinary time of liturgical year A, we are now in that section of Matthew's Gospel where we are perusing and reflecting on the parables of Jesus. I think I have mentioned to you that when you peruse, when you study or read the Gospel of Matthew, you must remember the way Matthew is presenting Jesus to the readers. For Matthew, Moses, Jesus is the new Moses. And as Moses had written 5 books, and so did Matthew, divided the discourses, the themes of the gospel into 5 as well. The first is the Sermon on the Mount. The second discourse, the commissioning, the sending of the apostles. The third discourse, the discourse on parables. The fourth discourse, the discourse on the church. And then the fifth discourse, the discourse on the end times, or what we call eschatology. So these are the five discourses, and we are now on the third, the parables. What are parables? Well, parables are is a form of literature that is that makes use of metaphors and images taken from an agricultural economy, an agrarian culture, to speak about the truths of the kingdom. In those images, in those metaphors, lie the mysteries and meaning of the kingdom of God. Now, what is the kingdom of God? Well, we all know that Jesus, and even beginning with John the Baptist, they preached the coming of the kingdom. And Jesus will say, the kingdom of God is upon you. Well, what is the kingdom of God? There are many levels to the understanding of the kingdom of God, and we certainly don't have enough time in this 7 to 10 minutes of reflection. But suffice it to say, that when we speak of the kingdom of God, as in our general knowledge, as probably all of us know, the kingdom of God is the reign of God where there is love, joy, and peace. We hear that in the Sermon on the Mount, where the meek is not the least, where the peacemakers are the children of God, and so on and so forth. That is the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, it is here. And of course, that will be fulfilled. It will come into its fullness when we come to heaven one day. So that's the kingdom of God, the reign of the gospel, to say it plainly. Another way of understanding the kingdom of God is that the kingdom of God is the church. This is the kingdom of God. We are in the kingdom of God. You are part of the kingdom of God. Our baptism inserted us and welcomed us into that kingdom. So the kingdom of God is the church. Another level of understanding the kingdom of God is that, according to Origen, the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, by the way, those two terms are interchangeable. Matthew just prefers the kingdom of heaven because he's Jewish. He could not say the name God. But those two are the same. So Origen says the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is Jesus Christ. So think of all those three levels of understanding the kingdom of God when you listen to the parables. You can insert Jesus, the church, or the kingdom as we know it, into the term kingdom of heaven, and it will take on a new light. And so, like I said, the parables are those images that were taken from an agricultural culture to speak of the reality of what is the kingdom of God, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And so here we have an example. Like, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed sown on the ground. It dies, and then it germinates, it sprouts, and it becomes the largest tree in which all kinds of birds find their home, find their nest. You know, if we insert there Jesus Christ is the one who was sown on the earth in his death, and in his resurrection has established the church, and now the church is all over the world, and people find their home there. So that's the mustard seed in the kingdom of God. And then we also have here the kingdom of God as a leaven. It is a leaven, you know. Let's think of the church. The church is quiet. The church is a leaven that is inserted into the life of the world. And yet the church establishes and builds things of joy and beauty. We just have to consider the works of the church. The human rights that they talk about in the secular world, that came from the church. the systems of hospital and the systems of charitable works that came from the church. And so that's the whole point, that the church as a kingdom of God, as a kingdom of heaven, is quietly at work, working with her Lord to bring about the kingdom here on earth. And yet there's another mystery that the Lord is pointing out in the kingdom. And so the first parable that Jesus talked about is the parable of the wheat and the weeds. And he said, we have all heard it. He said that a farmer sowed good seeds. And so naturally, if it's a good seed, you expect a good harvest, you expect good fruit. But then when he went to sleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds amongst the good seed, amongst the wheat, such that when they're all grown and they're bearing fruit, they notice that there are weeds among the wheat. And naturally, as is all too human, the tendency is, well, let's remove the bad seed. You know, let's remove the weeds. And the master said, no, don't do that. Because if you do, you might harm the good wheat as well. That is the mystery of the kingdom of God. Now, that mystery points to the justice of God. That mystery points to the love and mercy of God. It also points to a particular reality in the kingdom of God, a particular reality in the church of God. What is that reality? It is real that in the church of God, there is evil. The reality of evil is present in the church of God. Many times in the past, there were many, many workers who said, let's uproot the evil in the church. Men like Martin Luther, there are many abuses in the church. Let us reform the church. And what did Martin Luther do? Well, he established his own church, forgetting this particular parable here, that there is a time for everything, that in the justice and mercy of God, God bids his time. God bids his time because in the end, his will triumph. We hear that in the first reading today from the book of Wisdom. And so, and I would say even amongst us, how many times have we all heard, and perhaps we also said it one time or another, I will not go to Holy Family, or I will not go to church because the people there are hypocrites. I will not go to church and I will just stay here at home because the people who go to church, they don't really do what they're supposed to do. They're bad people. And so I will not go to church. That is precisely what the Lord is saying in the parable. There is that reality. But do not forget, the Lord is in control. The Lord sees all of these things, and we must not take it into our hands to be the judge of all, to be the one to remove all of those weeds that we see growing in our midst. Because you know, my friends, the field here is also the field of our hearts. In our hearts, there are those wheat and there are those weeds as well. We are a combination of both. And so we see here the mercy of God for all of us. The Lord does not strike us down because we had been bad. The Lord waits. The Lord waits because he believes in the goodness of the seed that he planted, Remember what was said here in the parable? A sower planted good seeds. We are all good seeds. But somehow in our journey, in our journey back to our Father in heaven, we lost our way. Weeds have grown into our hearts. And yet the Lord will wait. The Lord will patiently wait. He will not strike us down. I was just reminded of the story, and probably all of you know this, the story of someone like Saint Augustine. Saint Augustine was a heretic. He believed in the philosophy of the Manichaeans. The Manichaeans are also purists. You know, they said for them it's a battle between good and evil, and the battle is not decided, and so we need to be pure in order to win the battle. That's Saint Augustine. At the same time, Augustine also had a checkered past. He has an illegitimate son, and he had and he's a man of the world. If he had been struck by God at the beginning, we will not have a great mind like Saint Augustine. And so the Lord waits. The Lord waits. And the way he waits, it is not that he sits back, but he also believes that the Spirit that dwells in every one of us speaks on our behalf to the Father, as we are reminded in the second reading today. The Spirit that we all have received in our baptism intercedes for us, prays for us when we don't know how to pray anymore. That's the goodness of the Lord. That's the justice of God. And so, my friends, today we are reminded, it's an imperfect church, and in our hearts we are not yet saints. And yet the Lord waits. The Holy Spirit intercede on our behalf and prays on our behalf, so that one day we will all be pure and lovely wheat presented to the Lord and shining with the righteous in the kingdom of heaven. Amen.